The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you that you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Yay! Hi, good morning. Have a seat. Climb on up there. Tell me your names.
Clara and Calvin.
Clara? Maybe he's Clara.
No, he's Calvin.
He's Calvin. Hi, Calvin. I'm Judy. Well, look what I have here. Chocolates. Did either one of you give up chocolate for Lent? You did? Oh, no. Because look at here what I have. Chocolates. For Lent, I gave up watching the political news. I've been doing well so far. But it's an easy thing, probably an easy thing. A lot of people give up things for Lent as a time to draw closer to God. But the thing is, we make promises, don't we? I've promised I'm not going to watch the news. Some people, believe it or not, some people have promised that they are not going to eat any chocolate during Lent. And Lent is 40 days except for Sundays. So that's a long time to go with chocolate. But neither one of you gave up chocolate except Calvin kind of thinks he did.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He didn't, did he? No, we know better than that. Yeah, he doesn't know what giving something up for Lent is. But anyway, well, you know, the thing is with all of us, maybe we should ask anybody here if they gave up Lent to raise their hand. Should we do that? And see if anybody did, with us having chocolate right here. That would be like tempting. So did any of you give up chocolate for Lent? Not a one. I didn't bring chocolate for everybody. Yeah. Well, if somebody would have raised their hand, then we could say, well, how are you doing with this? And maybe they would have said, you know, I gave it up on Ash Wednesday, but I've broken my promise and I've eaten some chocolate and it's made me feel bad. I don't want to, but I did. Because the point is, the thing is, a lot of times we as human beings make promises that we can't keep. Sometimes your mom and dad might say to you, on Saturday, we're going to go to the park. I promise you. And then when Saturday comes, something comes up and they can't go. Maybe it's snowing like it is now, and it's not a good day to go to the park, but it sounds like they've broken their promise. They've broken their promise to you.
Yeah.
So sometimes we break our promises, we human beings. But you know what? The important thing I want you to remember is God, who loves you, never, 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 can you say never? Never breaks his promise to you. God promises you, when you were baptized, your mom probably held you in her arms when you were at the font there, and you were baptized and water was, that's when God promised, I will love you forever. I will never break my promise, God says to you. So can you remember? God will never break his promises like sometimes we do. But we are human beings. But God is God and loves you. So I'm going to give you a couple of chocolates, but you better ask your mom when you can eat those. And I'll give you each two because I have plenty and I don't want to take them home. You can have two. All right, let's pray before we go back. Yeah. Good and gracious God, we're so grateful for the opportunity to pass our faith on to these young children. May they grow up knowing how much you love them, knowing that you will never, ever break your promise to them, to love them and be with them forever. We pray that you'll watch over them, keep them from all harm and safety and danger, and keep them safe and well. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming up here, but be sure and ask your mom when you can have those chocolates, okay? He only wants one. Give one to your mom. She would like it. I might be in trouble. So I've often thought that there are two kinds of courage. One is the courage of a bystander who pushes someone away out of the way of oncoming traffic so that they won't be hit by a car or something. Another type of courage is someone jumping into a raging river to save someone struggling to swim. That's one kind of courage, at the risk, great risk, of himself or herself. But a second kind of courage, one that's not displayed simply in a single moment or a single act, but in anticipating a significant and even daunting, even frightening challenge, and not turning away from it, but rather meeting it head on. It's this second kind of courage Jesus displays, I think, in today's gospel reading. The Pharisees come and warn Jesus to flee because Herod is out for his blood. We don't know who these Pharisees are or what motivates them. We just know that they tell Jesus to flee and save his life and that Jesus refuses to do that. Instead, he will keep to the road that is appointed for him, traveling the difficult path to Jerusalem to meet his death there, like so many earlier prophets. This commitment to embrace his dark and difficult destiny for the sake of humanity, for us, that, I think, is the very embodiment of this kind of courage. Jesus is steadfast in the courage that he shows in moving forward to Jerusalem and the cross on behalf of the world God loves so much. What struck me is the absolutely critical role of vulnerability and how that plays into this thing about courage. I mean, to anticipate the challenge and the suffering and not look away, to make oneself vulnerable for the sake of others. As a culture, we don't often equate vulnerability with courage and strength. With care and love and concern, perhaps, but not often with courage and strength. At our worst, we see vulnerability as weakness, do we not? Something to be avoided at all cost. But at our best, we recognize the need to be vulnerable to those we care about most deeply. But we don't often see vulnerability as essential to living any kind of courageous life. And yet here it is, in this passage. I think Jesus demonstrates that vulnerability is essential to courage, that it stands at the core of the Christian life. And it invites us to discover that peculiar strength of being open to the needs of those around us. Jesus chooses the image of a hen, gathering her brood of chicks to her for protection and safety, to illustrate his love and concern for God's people. Now, as a parent, there's no way we can protect our children from all the threats that this life presents. And we probably shouldn't anyway. Which not only leaves us profoundly vulnerable, but promises a level of suffering that we simply would not endure if we hadn't ourselves bound ourselves so fully to our child. A friend of mine once said, a parent is usually only as happy as his or her least happy child. Isn't that true? That's vulnerability. That's vulnerability. It's precisely this characteristic that Jesus embodies and by extension invites us to attribute to God. That God becomes vulnerable to all of our human life by becoming one of and one with God's daughters and sons through the incarnation. Jesus' choice of this image, I think, has helped me realize that it's our vulnerability that spurs our courage and nourishes our strength. Simply because you can and will do things for those you love, you just wouldn't or couldn't do for yourself. And so Jesus continues on to Jerusalem, not to prove himself a fearless hero, not to make a sacrifice for sin, for a judgmental God, not even to combat death and the devil. Rather, Jesus marches to Jerusalem and embraces the cross that awaits him there out of profound love for us, for the people around him. A mother's fierce love that will stop at nothing to protect their children. Brené Brown, I hope you've heard of her. She did a TED Talk on the power of vulnerability. She invites us to recognize that while vulnerability inevitably opens us up to feeling things we may want to avoid, it also spurs us to be authentically human and more. More caring, more compassionate, more courageous than we would otherwise be. She reminds us that courage comes from the Latin word cor, C-O-R, heart, and defines courage as living from the heart. The willingness to embrace our vulnerability in order to be our authentic selves. If you haven't seen that TED Talk, just Google Brené Brown, B-R-E-N-E, Brown, The Power of Vulnerability, and watch it this afternoon. You will be amazed. So Christian courage, then. It might be the kind of wholehearted living that comes from believing that as God's daughters, as God's sons, we are enough. We are enough. And that those around us are also God's beloved sons and daughters, and so deserve our love, our empathy, our respect. What if in this passage we see Jesus not merely acting courageously, but embracing who he was called to be for the sake of those he loved, and thereby inviting us to be who we are called to be for the sake of those who are around us. So I invite you to consider this day. Where are you feeling the most vulnerable? Where are you feeling the most vulnerable? Whether it's in a relationship, maybe at your job, maybe amid the pressure of your peers, whatever it is, know this. God is with you in your places of vulnerability. And through God's grace, you may discover in them a way to discover a more fully who you've been called to be. And then connect with those who are around you. People of God, it has never been more important than it is today. May it be so of each and every one of us. Amen.